Hi, everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for June 7th, 2008. On this week's show...
Summer's here and the time is right.
That sounds like a yearbook slogan.
It does.
The time is right to join Lisa and Joe for a glass of wine on the Cheap Date patio.
Here on the Cheap Date patio. We're coming to you live from the Cheap Date patio.
Why do you say live? It's not live.
It's never any more live than other times, I suppose. We are recording this outdoors. How's that? We're on the patio tonight. A beautiful early June evening as we're sitting out here on the patio with microphones on the table and a bottle of wine sitting in front of us. Mm-hmm. Overlooking the very healthy-looking garden that we have. Tomatoes and peppers and beans.
It's
and
still very early here.
Yeah, it is.
We've only had a couple weeks of gardening weather.
But anyway, the wine we're enjoying tonight is an interesting little Argentinian vintage.
This is something Joe found.
It's called Zolo is the brand. You can grab the bottle. That's okay. You're fine.
I just wanted to look.
And
Torontes.
It's an Argentinian white wine. Now, we are not, as we mentioned on the show in the past, we are not really white wine people. We're more into the reds.
I think we're becoming more and more white wine people.
We found some whites that we like. Well, it's summertime, too. So I'd read an article about Torontes, which is, how would you describe this? It's drier. It's not a Zin. It's not a Chablis. It's not a Pinot Grigio. It's very
I don't know.
Flowery.
Actually, that's one thing about white wines is I don't know enough about them to make much of a call.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know what this is? The article that I read about this said that if you're looking for a wine to lay in a hammock on a hot summer day and sip, this is it.
That's right. It said this was an uncomplicated, fruity summertime wine.
Right.
I shouldn't say fruity because it's not too much.
It's not. You see, now, some of our listeners may remember, because, okay, it's not like a Riesling.
Right.
And it's not like a rosé. So it's sweeter, but it's not completely dry. That's as far as we're going to be able to explain.
You're just going to have to try it.
Look for it. We got this at World Market, and they also sell this at Whole Foods as well. Not this brand, but look for, under Argentinian wines, look for Torrontes. And that's what the type of wine is called. So check that out and try it out and tell us what you think. Mm-mm. Okay, we're going to talk about some other stuff in terms of summertime, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on that we want to talk about. But first, let's talk about what we had for dinner tonight. We are never one to say no to a new Thai restaurant. I think we've reviewed more Thai restaurants than any other type restaurant on the show.
Yeah, Thai is really our thing. And this is not a super new Thai restaurant, but it is.
It's been open.
Say,
I'd say it's newish. It's right about the same time several Thai restaurants opened or moved into the downtown Arlington Heights area. And this is one we've been meaning to try. It came to us. It was recommended to us saying, oh, you guys have to try this. And so tonight we did.
It's called, have we mentioned the name?
We've not. Go ahead.
It's called Gumrai Thai. It is sort of across from the train station. So we just walked over there.
Just north of the metro station.
And what can we say about this? Well, it has all the Thai noodle and Thai entree standbys, curries, Pad Thai, Pad Wonsan, Pad Siu, Pad Ki Mao, the trifecta of pads.
Wow.
It's four, so it's not a trifecta. Quite an extensive...
Quadrifecta?
Although I didn't get a good...
Sorry, continue. I'm just slowing you down.
Really, there's a really extensive appetizer menu.
Yes, there is.
Which... I won't even say that that's good or bad. Just it's an unusually large number of appetizers. So maybe if there's something in the appetizer realm you're looking for that you haven't been able to find. Other than that, the menu is...
Well, on the appetizers, they do have the standard. They have the crab rangoons, they have the spring rolls,
the
satays.
I don't even know enough about... Well, okay, they have endomam. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Soybeans... Boiled mushroom teriyaki, squid tempura, asparagus roll. I've never heard of that. Soft shell crab, standard on the menu. delicious.
I wonder if that would have to be a seasonal thing, because this time of year soft shell crab is in, but
I don't know.
I can't imagine they have it in like
you can probably get
December.
You can probably get it frozen any time, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's something I would prefer to eat seasonally, but I don't know. Anyway, they have a pretty extensive appetizer menu. The rest of their menu, ironically, is a little bit more limited. Not too limited. The basic noodles. They also have a large number of salads and some Asian cuisines that are not Thai. They have, for instance, a few different Japanese noodle soups. They have tempura udon, tempura soba, ramen noodles. They have some teriyaki dishes, and they have some Chinese dishes. So it might be perfect if you, and they also have a lot of good fish selections. So it might be perfect if you had somebody who wasn't too sure about Thai food, but like Japanese or Chinese, there are a few things there to fall back on.
So what did you have?
I had the pad kee mao, which is a wide rice noodle with onions.
What was your protein?
Peppers, depending on how spicy you want it. Tomatoes. My protein was tofu.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you. And it was, I'll tell you what, Joe, I've had a lot of different pad kee maos, and I have a favorite that I'm...
A standard by which you measure all others?
I do. This one was very good. This is not my new favorite, but this one was good.
It's a contender?
The thing is, you know, I go to a lot of Thai restaurants, and I always order one of two or three different things. I like them all.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you might like pizza from 10 different pizza places. And different. Sometimes you're in the mood for a particular one, and sometimes you don't really care, and you like them all, and it's really hard to pick a favorite.
Right.
Maybe I should try something different next time we go to a Thai restaurant. I've been trying to branch out into curries. So I guess what I'm saying is it's hard for me to rank this. I would not rank this as like the best Thai place I've ever been to, but it's convenient. It was good. They have awesome lunch specials.
Yes.
We did not go for lunch, but
we did not.
They do have really great lunch specials.
Yeah, everything. They have a lunch menu, which features a subset of the things that are on the main menu, and it's...
Basically everything $7.
$7.
Right?
And you can pick from several things: pepper steak, kung pao, take your pick of the meat, beef teriyaki, chicken teriyaki, various curries, various Thai noodles. Lunch comes with a soup, appetizer, rice or fried rice, and then it's $7. So from 11 to 3, that's pretty good.
Especially
for $7.
if you pick it up and you don't have to worry about tipping or buying a drink.
Yeah,
that's. That's lunch and dinner.
So that is a true cheap date.
Let's be honest. That's what us ladies in offices do. We order lunch, and especially the single ladies,
now
order lunch and eat off it for 3 days.
And you brought yours home. You brought a lot of it home. You didn't. You couldn't plow through that.
That
was a pretty healthy portion.
I have had a. My stomach has been, thankfully. Putting the kibosh on my indulgences lately. I just can't eat very much of anything at one time.
Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah, it doesn't even look like it put a dent in it.
But it was delicious, was it not?
It was delicious. And it was spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you discuss what you had?
Because
you were a bit more adventurous.
I was. I enjoyed the peanut sauce delight. And this was truly a delight.
I love delight.
Essentially, it's your choice of meat topped with peanut sauce and steamed broccoli, and that's what it was. I had chicken, so there were these very nicely sized bits of chicken breast, mm-hmm. which were cooked and then laid on top of. I wish I had taken a picture of it. Well, I wish I had taken a picture of it because
it was an interesting way they stacked it.
It looked like a flower, actually, because the broccoli was all laid out with flower head out or the heads out, and then they put all the chicken on it, and then they put this peanut sauce over it, and it was amazing.
So, of course, that was not about the steamed broccoli or the sautéed chicken, but the sauce.
The sauce. And this was a wonderful... I think I do... I think I'm a pretty good judge of peanut sauces, and this was a really good
peanut sauce. You know peanut sauces like I know Pad Kee Mao.
Sometimes peanut sauces can taste a little peanut buttery-ish, a little skippy-ish.
Or they can be a little bit, they can be a little bit pasty, or they can be a little bit too sweet.
Yeah.
A little bit on the side of, like, I don't know, peanut butter sauce that goes on your ice cream.
Yeah, like all kind of orangey almost or something like that. But this was not that. This was a very, very good, a little bit spicy. I probably could have kicked it up a notch on the spiciness.
Mm-hmm.
But it was delicious. And I couldn't finish all mine either, but it was awesome.
It was. It was a very nice balance of peanut and spicy, which makes for just a wonderfully complex little dance on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had peanut sauce with anything other than chicken? Have you ever tried it with beef or?
Oh, I've had it with, I know chicken satay, and I've probably tried peanut sauce with beef satay. I might have tried it. I don't know if you're supposed to do that.
I've never known of it to be served with anything other than chicken.
Well, I think I had it. I think a bunch of us went out one time and we ordered a bunch of satays, and I probably dipped it in where you're not supposed to. You know, kind of like when you go to Benihana and they say the mustard sauce is for this and the ginger sauce is for this. But you used it for both anyway. Yeah. So I think it might have been that. I think it really does really well with the chicken. The peanut sauce does. Mm-hmm. It balances it beautifully. And it was good. So we'll probably be returning there, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if we have a lunch hour free sometime.
Oh, yeah. And as we said, it's right across from the Arlington Heights Metro Station, right in downtown Arlington Heights. It is Gumrai Thai, 170 North Arlington Heights Road. They are located in the ground floor of the building. It's either the building where the Avalon Apartments are. Or it's next door in the building where, is that all one unit the mailboxes, et cetera?
I'm not sure about that.
And the Fannie Mae candy, which we had to walk by. And I mean, we walked by it. We didn't go in as much as we were tempted.
We just licked the pictures in the window.
You can't miss it. It's actually on the spot where the old Arlington Theater was years ago. So for those of you old timers, you'll remember
it's the corner of Wing and, well, it's not really Wing.
It's actually Northwest.
You know what? Just call us. We'll tell you where it is.
It's Northwest Highway.
Google it or whatever.
And Arlington Heights Road. Gumrai Thai. You can't miss it.
Drowning here in summer's cauldron, under mats of flower lava. Please don't pull me out, this is how I would want to go. Breathing in the boiling butter, fruit of sweat and golden ink. Please don't heed my shout, I'm relaxing the undertow.
Now, since this is our first episode of the summer, what have we done so far to kick off this summer, besides recording a podcast out on the patio and pouring some more wine? On Memorial Day weekend, we joined 20,000 of our best friends for a little ride.
We did. The annual, seventh annual Bank of America Bike the Drive.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
No, this is the event where they close Lakeshore Drive, which is a 30-mile stretch of road.
15 miles.
Well, it's
two ways.
Right. But it runs north all the way from way north of the city to just south of the city. I shouldn't say way north of the city, to the north side of the city to the south side of the city, all along the lakefront. It's a giant, 8 lanes at some points, if not more, wide.
Yeah, 3 or 4 lanes each direction.
Right.
Well, why don't you give a little bit of history of Lakeshore Drive? Because it's not a drive that every city on a lake has.
That is true. When the city of Chicago was planned out, Daniel Burnham, who was the planner of the city of Chicago, deliberately set aside the lakefront from fairly far north to fairly far south in the city of Chicago to be used for public use. And there was a roadway that was designed in there, which became Lakeshore Drive. And there is to be nothing built between Lakeshore Drive and the lake. So,
and what kind of a width is that between, like, the outer edge of Lakeshore Drive and the waterline.
At some point, it's...
It varies, but...
Yeah, it's probably maybe anywhere from maybe a half a city block to maybe a city block.
Yeah, that's like about that. Right. So when you're driving on it, especially when you're on the lake side of Lakeshore Drive, you can really see the beach.
Yes.
And it's not an experience you get in every city because in a lot of cities, of course, the lakefront property is the hottest.
Right.
And it's...
Seattle, for example.
Right. You have to be in a restaurant or a hotel or something that is on the water if you want to see the... Well, I mean, there are public beaches and public access points, but...
Right. But, for example, when you look at pictures of the city of Chicago and you go to, say, the John Hancock Center on Michigan Avenue, and if you look at views from, say, the 95th at the Hancock Center, you're looking out over the lake, but you're not actually on the lake. You're actually about two blocks away from the lake.
Right. Yeah, Chicago got around that by building high.
Yes.
But there's this great strip of green space along the lake, and I think it was just a wonderful thing they did. There's a biking and walking path over there, and there are beaches and parks and various picnic areas and things like that. No public use. No, I was going to say, for us, no public use lands. We wanted the fast lane.
So what they do is they take Lakeshore Drive, this highway that runs along the lakefront, which you usually see when you're zipping by at about anywhere between 40 and 80 miles an hour.
Unless you're going like 5 miles an hour.
Right. And they close it off on a Sunday morning. Usually it's the Sunday morning of Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And they open it up to people to ride their bikes on. And it was awesome. We did 30 miles. We started at Grant Park, which is right at Jackson Boulevard, went north to Bryn Mawr. Had a snack, had a banana, had a Clif Bar, had a bottle of water, had an apple, had some Maurice Linnell pinwheel cookies, and then came back down south. Product placement. I'm hoping Maurice Linnell will send us some free cookies. Big Chicago brand, Maurice Linnell. Then down south to the Museum of Science and Industry, around, and then back up. And that full circle was a little bit more than 30 miles.
And all along the way, it started at 5:30 a.m. just as the sun was coming up.
Uh-huh.
And all along that way, we had fabulous views of either the lake or the skyline or both.
That's right.
So, and, of course, the butts of hundreds of bikers in front of us.
And this is a real fun thing, and it's very family friendly. So as cheap dates go, you will have to drag the kids out of bed at like 5 in the morning if you want to get a real early start. But
right.
Or earlier. But it's definitely worth it. It's a whole lot of fun. And... It's a vista you don't normally get.
And if you really are thinking about doing this, now, it's not, there's a registration fee. It's not free.
Right.
Don't let us fool you. But we think it's worth every penny and worth getting up at 5 o'clock for. You do not have to commit to 30 miles.
Right.
You could do as little as, like, about 8 miles.
Yeah, about 7.5.
If you take the early out.
And they're, right, there are turnarounds.
So you can do that. You can do 15. You could do about like 20. You know, we did the whole thing, but don't feel intimidated. But if we can do it, you can do it. Come on. But a 6-year-old might not be able to do it.
Right.
So for people with little kids, that's one reason it's kid friendly, is because
you can do the short route.
Right. There are lots of route options.
And it's fully supported. So if anything happens along the way, there are people who will come along and help you if you have a damaged bicycle or if you fall or something
like
that.
Yes, they have lots of friendly and helpful staff.
And it's coordinated by the City of Chicago and the Chicago Bicycle Federation, of which I am a member. Actually, you are a member as well.
Yes,
so there you go. So good for that. So not only we decided that we were on such a high from doing Bike the Drive on May 25th that on
June Wednesday, we still couldn't sit. And on Wednesday, we registered for yet another round of torture.
The Miller Lite Ride for the Arts, which took place in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Sunday, June 1st.
Also, at the crack of dawn.
I have never...
That's not true.
Having driven to Milwaukee a lot of my life from the Chicago area, I can honestly say that I have never made it to Milwaukee that quickly as we did at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning.
That was crazy.
And
it was
people,
worth it just for that.
And the only people on 294 on the expressway that leads up there, or 94 that leads up there, were people who had bikes on the back of their cars. So we all had like a caravan going. There were people following each other. So the Miller Lite Ride is sponsored by, as you might guess, the Miller Brewing Company. And they had, there were, this was a, it was attended there was a slightly smaller attendance to this. There were 6,000 people who rode this, mm-hmm. as opposed to 20,000 who did Bike the Drive. Mm-hmm. The difference here is that the path, there are several, when you register for this, there are several different routes you can take. There's a 75-mile option. We know someone who did that. There's a 50, a 25, a 15, and I think there's an even shorter one as well.
There's a 5, I think.
I think so. So we did the 25, and it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It was all roads which were not closed.
Right. We had to share the road with vehicles.
Yeah, but when you're in a mob of... I mean, it was not like a group of 6,000 people,
right,
moving down the road.
They had staged starts. People started, depending on what ride you were in, they started,
course,
at a different time.
And then, of course, people dispersed. But, I mean, at any given time, there were people right in front of you, behind you, and on either side of you. So it feels a lot safer. On one hand, all those bikes so close together can be nerve-wracking for a novice biker, which I definitely am. But on the other hand, at least when you're with 100 people, you know that cars can see you.
That's true.
What really worries me about biking on the street is I don't think drivers are always looking for bicyclists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when there are that many of you, they can't miss you. In fact, they pull up to the intersection and they see at 6 in the morning and they see all these bikers going by and they just turn around.
Wah. But it was good. And again, this is another fully supported ride. What they did was they took us south from the center of downtown Milwaukee. It was a beautiful day. From the center of downtown Milwaukee through some of the sections of town. It was really cool because in the different neighborhoods, there were people who were representing the neighborhoods who were welcoming us as we were entering the neighborhood.
Yeah, sometimes just people out on their front porches, and sometimes people... I don't know who had somehow... But I'm not sure who those people were, but they had been somehow recruited...
Oh, in the costumes?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they were part of a theater group that was in
one of
those towns.
Oh, that would make sense,
because
the walk for the right. arts, performing arts group.
Uh-huh. So that was a lot of fun. And like I said, it was a beautiful day. And the ride ended at the Summerfest grounds.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
At about, what, like 10:30, 11?
10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there was beer there.
There was. Summerfest, for
pretzels,
those of you who
popcorn.
Aren't aware, Summerfest is a huge festival that the city of Milwaukee has been doing for years.
There are two things you must know.
Two things, my lord, must ye know.
It is a fest.
And it is
takes
held.
Place during the summer.
It's a huge complex, but only a small section of it was actually open
what
for where we were.
What I didn't know is that Summerfest is a place.
It's a permanent
as well
fixture.
As the event.
Right. They have different festivals that take place at the Summerfest grounds, but the big event is Summerfest, which takes place at the end of June through the early July, and this is the place to be. When I was in college, this was the place to go. Chicago tried to imitate it. Well, before they rehabbed Navy Pier, they did something called Chicago Fest. In fact, if you Google Chicago Fest, you'll find a whole bunch of interesting stuff about that. But
right. So they had a little playground going. They have tons of stages and stuff. They had all that closed off. I mean, they had a couple stages open. There was a little bit of waterfront park open. There was a playground open. There were a couple different bands playing. Some of the food vendors were open. There was a beer spot, and some people were getting beer. But for the kids, it was really great because they could do as little as 5 miles.
Yes.
And then get this big party at the end. And with a crowd of 6,000, rather, I mean, there's a party at the end of Bike the Drive, but it looks like Woodstock.
That's true.
Like, you look out over this field of bodies and bikes, and you don't even want to go near
it. It's Woodstock, but a very healthy Woodstock.
Right, right. And this was a little less healthy Woodstock.
A lot
the beer
of
and
pearly izumi as opposed
pizza,
to tie-dye.
Yeah, yeah, right. But really, the crowd is much more manageable. And if I had little kids that I wanted to take to a big biking event, that would definitely be my top choice.
So we'll have a link to both the Miller Lite Ride and Bike the Drive. So check those out for next year's. Bookmark those. And actually, I think you can even go to their website and get on their mailing list so that you know you can register. Bike the Drive, you can register as early as February. And the Miller Lite Ride, I think, is about the same because that's when I found out about it, was back in February. So, but check them both out. They're great events. And you know what? You don't have to be Lance Armstrong to do it either. I mean, you can be.
If we can ride 25 miles, seriously, anybody can.
So consider that. Now, as we're talking about cool stuff that's happening in the summertime as well, we also have a bunch of stuff to talk about very quickly. about upcoming events here in Arlington Heights and the Northwest suburban area. First of all, we have the concerts in the park, which go through their Thursdays and Friday nights. Actually, the Unplugged Thursdays and Sound of Summer Fridays, which take place at Harmony Park, which is the downtown Arlington Heights park at the corner of Vale and Campbell, kitty corner from Peggy Kinane's and across the street from Harry's. And there's another new restaurant that's going on over there. This is a really cool thing that they do where they have concerts for... They have all different kinds of bands that play there, and you can just go there and hang out. And it's a city lot-sized area, would you say? And there's the fountain there.
Bluegrass, polka, big band.
They had everything. They had a Jimmy Buffett
Bluegrass,
band.
They
have everything. And then they also have, as I said, Unplugged Thursdays. They have acoustic. They'll just have a couple of guys with guitar singing stuff.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. So if you are not already familiar with it, the concerts start at 7 o'clock, and they run from 7 to 8:30 right in downtown Arlington Heights. Easy to find a parking spot if you know where to go.
That's such a lie.
Well, no, just avoid the Vale Street Garage is what I would say, because that's across the street from the park.
And
I would
park
say go just go a couple
street?
Blocks away. Park on the street a couple
park
blocks
at
away.
Park at our house and ride your bike.
And ride your bike over. Yeah, we're not that far.
No, they don't do that.
Don't forget that Frontier Days here in downtown Arlington Heights is coming up on July 2nd through the 6th. Always a good time. I understand our favorite Beatles tribute band, American English, is going to be appearing there.
Of course.
So don't forget to check that out. And also at Capinari's Ice Cream Shop in Mount Prospect, they do a bunch of really, really cool stuff during the summer. They have, they do concerts. There's a park right next to the building where they're located. So they have concerts every Sunday night. Or actually, it's one Sunday night a month. There's one in June, July, and August. Sorry. And then they also have movie night where they project. You can sit in the park and they project movies on a screen
best.
Up on the side of the building. So on the 17th of June, they're showing Shrek the Third. Plus, they're doing a rock, paper, scissors contest. We talked about this previously.
I love it.
On July 15th, they're showing B-Movie, and I also have the Rock, Paper, Scissors Tournament. And on August 12th, the Rock, Paper, Scissors Tournament is accompanied by the movie Hairspray. So
The new Hairspray.
So, yeah, I can't imagine they'd... the John Waters movie, which is a great movie. I just don't think it's family friendly.
Some places they do, classic movies for these things.
That's true. But Capinari's Ice Cream in downtown Mount Prospect, which is right just down the street from us here...
Ride your bike.
Check that out. It's a good place. We've talked about them when we did our ice cream show a couple years ago. We mentioned them, and we're real big fans of Capinari's.
Oh, yes.
They're the ones who have the Guinness flavored ice cream. As a matter of fact, I think it's about time we stop back in there for more.
And the chocolate peanut butter.
And then finally, I want to mention something coming up next weekend, which is June 11th through the 15th, is one of my other all-time favorite festivals here in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, which is the Elk Grove Village Rotary Fest.
Oh, yeah.
This is always a good time. They have a bunch of... I got the list of the bands that are going to be appearing on the main stage, including... the band Cover Girl with an umlaut over the U, G-U-R-L.
Oh, didn't we see them?
We saw them last year. They were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
There's an REO Speedwagon tribute band called, you wouldn't know, High Infidelity. There's a Led Zeppelin tribute band called Presence with a Z. And so they have a bunch of...
there are no Winds of Thor.
But... really looking forward to this. We're going to hopefully get over there. It runs Wednesday through Sunday. It's a blast. It's right on the grounds of Elk Grove High School, actually in a tent next to Elk Grove High School. And there's a carnival. And the thing that I like about this, and I may have mentioned this before, I used to take my kids there when they were smaller, because as carnival games go, usually the carnival games are a ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases they are. The people who do the carnival games here, and it's one of the big carnival groups that
does
it here. But... They are really, really good, especially with little kids. So like with the dart game where you throw a dart at a balloon, if you don't break it, sometimes they'll be like, oh, you know what? That was close enough. Here you go. And they give the kid something.
Aww.
So they're really good there. And my kids always loved it. So they always say, oh, yeah, let's go to Rotary Fest.
And, you know, they might as well, because basically you're paying a dollar or two for a stuffed animal worth a dollar or two.
Yeah.
And along the way, you get the fun of feeling like you want it.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So it's no loss to
that. You can get in a big inflatable, somewhere in a box in our basement, we have giant inflatable baseball bats, hammers, swords.
Guitars.
I think there's a giant inflatable ants. Because from the movie Bugs Life was popular, they had all the inflatable ants and stuff like that. So it's, you kind of take a step back through popular culture by carnival toys by taking a look at what they have back there. So that'll be Rotary Fest in Elk Grove Village. You can check that out. That, I think, is going to do it for this show.
Okay.
If people want to get a hold of us, Lisa, it's quiz time for Lisa. Every 2 weeks we do this. We'll see if she remembers. If people want to get a hold of us, what do they do exactly?
Just come over.
Okay. You'll see us. We'll be out on the patio. We'll have a bottle of wine going, some glasses.
No.
We'll set the fire pit up. We'll be ready to roll.
Here's how it works. Have you heard about this email?
It's like electronic mail?
Electronic mail.
Yeah. Heard about it. Not familiar with it.
Type in the to field, cheapdateshow@gmail.com.
All one word?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the @, and then Gmail, and then a period, and then com.
Okay. That's awesome.
I don't know. I always feel like I need to come up with some new way to say it, and it just is worse every
time.
There's
no new way of saying that. And then you can also leave us a voicemail, 206-203-3283. You know, the next time we talk to these people, it's going to be the summer solstice.
Really?
That's right.
Well, we should be out here, like, doing some kind of pagan ritual.
If you don't.
Hey, in Seattle they have a naked bike ride on the summer solstice. We could go out there for that.
Okay. Full coverage, or maybe not, on the next Jeep Date Show. We'll talk to you in two weeks,
do a
folks.
Video podcast.
Thanks. Oh, you really don't want that. Talk to you in 2 weeks, folks.
Good night.
You are helpless now.
This podcast is a production of Jeep Date Media at jeepdatemedia.com.